Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm so excited that you have decided to join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So on tonight, we're going to discuss our hashtag moment, which is new for the month of August. And the hashtag moment for the month of August is Living with Broken Pieces. We'll then continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. We'll go right into Let's Be Real, which is a segment where I make my weekly confession. And then next week, or the next segment, is our main discussion, which is titled Positives and Negatives. And then we'll end the show with our dose of spiritual wellness and our final greetings. And I'll look forward to seeing you next week. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show. So that's Wellness and Faith, Living with Broken Pieces, Let's Be Real, hashtag moment, or anything else that truly resonates with you. Just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. So our hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and then we have a discussion about it and even post on social media as well. I am a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My last two blogs, The Cost of Compassion and Do the Impossible, was published last month. My newest blog, titled Living with Broken Pieces, will be available within the next few days, so I encourage you to go to radiantsunshine.org and to check it out. Once again, the hashtag for the month of August is Living with Broken Pieces, so feel free to post on social media about that or even call into the show live as well. If you would like to call into the show live to be a part of the discussion of any of the material that we are discussing tonight, you can call 347-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can look at the show website or blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. All right, so let's go into our discussion of our hashtag for the month of August, which is Living with Broken Pieces. So living with broken pieces means that you make use of the storms and the destruction in your life. So this is actually based upon Acts 27, which is the account of Paul being shipwrecked. If any of you know anything about Paul, you know that he was shipwrecked several times throughout his ministry with being an apostle of Jesus. And so Acts 27, again, is just one instance of him having this experience of being shipwrecked and being out in sea in the middle of a storm. And so what happens in this account of Acts 27 is that against Paul's advice, the ship's captains decide to continue with their trip because Paul and several other prisoners were on their way to Rome, and the total amount of people on board was almost 300 people. Of course, it was mostly prisoners, but it also included some soldiers and captains as well. And so in this account, you know, of Paul and everyone else on the boat actually traveling to Rome, there's this huge storm that happens, and as a result, this ship is destroyed. Now, mind you, Paul had already advised the captain, like, hey, you really don't want to continue with this trip. It's not going to end well. We really should just wait and postpone the trip. But the captain didn't listen to Paul, and surely enough, as Paul had warned them, this huge storm happened. And so as a point in trying to actually survive the storm, several resources were actually tossed off of the ship, which included food and other things that were necessary in order for them to be able to take care of themselves on a day-to-day basis. And so in the midst of now, like, being shipwrecked being afraid that they're about to die, and then also being hungry because they've had eaten, you know, a decent meal in a really long time, Paul actually has this vision that they are going to be saved and that the ship is going to be destroyed, but that not one person aboard the ship is going to die. And so subsequently, he tells everyone else on the ship, he tries to cheer them up, and what Paul receives a vision from the angel of God that came to provide this vision, what he says he receives in the vision is what happens. And so, sure enough, the ship is destroyed, but everyone still makes it to shore alive. And some of the people that were aboard the ship, they were able to make it to the shore because they knew how to swim. And then there were other people who made it to the shore because there were boards from the ship that they used in order to aid them in getting to the shore. But then in Acts 27, there's one thing that really sticks out, which is that other people who were aboard the ship who couldn't swim, who didn't have access to the board, they made it to shore on broken pieces. And so they lived through that storm. They lived with trying to get to shore with broken pieces. So that's where this particular hashtag moment comes from the idea. That's actually what the blog is based upon as well. So I encourage you to go and check it out. I'm telling you, you will definitely enjoy reading the blog, and you will leave with some encouragement as well. And so to talk about how broken pieces actually apply to us today, because I doubt very seriously that anyone who is listening to the show is literally in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, fearing for their lives. If you were in a situation like that, I'm pretty sure you would not be listening to the show, and I would totally understand. But for the rest of us, we are either in the comfort of our homes, or we're driving in a car, or we're at, you know, our jobs, or, you know, at any other place where we're able to comfortably, fairly comfortably, listening to the show right now. But even though we may be experiencing a certain amount of comfort or able to have a certain amount of comfort as we're listening to the show, the reality is that all of us have something going on with our lives that we're not too happy about. No one has a perfect life. All of us have different issues, different trials, different frustrations, different problems that we are having in our lives at this very moment. And so those issues, those problems, those concerns are our broken pieces. And so with these broken pieces, whether it's an illness of you and a loved one, or whether you're having medical problems, or maybe you're having some challenges with dealing with your children, your broken piece could be having issues going on at your job, whether it's your supervisors or your coworkers, or maybe you're having some frustrations as a result of trying to resolve some things within your business and to continue being an entrepreneur, and you're worried that maybe you may not be able to continue that dream of being an entrepreneur, that you may have to actually enter the workforce. Maybe your broken piece is pain or frustration or trauma from your past. Maybe you've not been able to get over what someone has done to you and how they took advantage of you and how they abused you and really did things that they should not have done. Maybe your broken piece is shame because you made mistakes and you did things that you knew that you really should not have been involved in. Regardless of whatever your broken piece is, we all have a broken piece or even multiple pieces that we're dealing with in our life. But the awesome thing about the story in Acts 27 and how we can apply it to our lives is that the broken pieces in our lives don't only have to be signs or symbols of the destruction and the chaos that we may be experiencing in many areas of our life or just one area of our life. These same broken pieces can be used in order to help you to survive, to thrive, to live, and to conquer. So let's use a different example. When you look at a rock, and I actually used this example in a workshop that I did a few weeks ago based upon my book titled Walking Through the Pain, which I'll have more information about that at the end of the show. But I used this example during that workshop about my book about a stone. And so I had several stones in my hand, and with the stone, I pretended like I was going to throw the stone at one of the young ladies who was actually attending the workshop. And so, of course, on cue, she looked at me with this facial expression like, I know you are not going to throw this stone at me. And so I asked her, I said, well, what would you do if I actually threw the stone at you? And so she responded that she would be ready to fight. And so I pretended to not understand why she would want to fight me if I threw a rock at her. And so I asked her why. And she responded with letting me know that that would be so disrespectful and that would be hurtful and just totally uncalled for. And the thing about it is that, like, I held the stone up and I said, okay, the same stone that I could use to throw at you, to hurt you, to disrespect you, I can also use the same exact stone to build something. And we see examples of this, you know, even throughout, you know, whether you look at architecture or even if you look at certain streets or even pathways that leads up to certain buildings or even maybe your own home, you may have a stone walkway. But that same exact stone that has now been used to create something beautiful can also be used to destroy and to hurt as well. And so this is the same thing with the broken pieces in our lives, with the different situations that we have going on, is that we can either choose to only have our broken pieces to symbolize, to represent the destruction and the chaos in our lives, or we can use that same destruction, we can use that same chaotic circumstance in order to build strength in our lives, in order to build maturity, in order to build true joy, in order to build our faith and our trust and our dependence of God, in order to build an example of what it means to keep pushing on in spite of the difficulties in our lives. We can show the perfection of God's strength. There's a scripture that talks about how in God's weakness, His strength is made strong. His strength is made perfect. And so we always have a choice when it comes to the broken pieces in our lives. So when it comes to our own spiritual wellness, we must learn to utilize and to live with the broken pieces that are in our lives. Okay, so now we're going to go into our segment titled To Believe or Not Believe. This is a portion of the show where I would love to interact with you and for you to call in live with any questions or comments that you have about this portion of the show. The number to call in live is 347-850-1154. And on tonight, we're going to continue our discussion regarding the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament. And on tonight, we're actually specifically going to talk about where Jesus heals the man who was sick and paralyzed at the pool of Bethesda. So again, the number to call into the show is 347-850-1154. Or you can even post on social media about the discussion and be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. And the account of Jesus healing the man who was at the pool of Bethesda can be found in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And so here it is. You have the main players here who are Jesus, the man who was sick, and then the other six people who are surrounding him at the pool. So just to give a very short piece of background about the pool of Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda was a place that actually a few times a year would be troubled by an angel of God who would come down to disturb the water, and the people who were sick would gather around the pool in order to wait for the water to be troubled. And the first person to get into the pool after the show or after the water was troubled would actually be healed of whatever their condition or their infirmity was. And so around this pool, there were actually several people who would be there, and sometimes people will actually have other friends or family members that will help them to get into the pool first. And so when Jesus came up into the pool and he was able to see the people who were laying there, he caught eyes with this man, or he saw this man who was laying there sick, and this man actually had been dealing with his illness for 38 long years. And so Jesus goes up to the man. He already knows that he had been sick for a really long time. He already knows about his condition. And he goes to talk to the man, and he asks him, are you going to be made whole? Are you going to be made well? And so the man explains to Jesus that he has no friends to help him to get into the pool when it is troubled by angels, and that someone always gets in there first. They beat him there. And so then Jesus responds to the man and says, you know what? Get up your bed, get up and walk. And the man does it. He picks up his bed, he immediately gets up, and he begins to walk around. And what's awesome is that the people around were just completely amazed. And so they're like, wow, this is so awesome. Look at this miracle that happened. But in spite of that, then there were people who were upset. And this group of people were actually the Pharisees. They were actually upset that a man who had been ill, who had been sick for 38 long years, was now healed. And you would never guess, if you're not familiar with the story, the reason for that. The reason why they were upset that a man who was sick is now healed is because Jesus did this on the Sabbath. So there were tons of laws that govern what the people were supposed to do on the Sabbath day. And so they weren't supposed to work. They weren't supposed to, you know, do anything that required hard labor or anything of that nature. And so Jesus is shocked that, well, he's not shocked, but he does actually respond to the Pharisees with talking with them about the fact that they were upset that this man was healed. And so as he's speaking with them, he's basically trying to demonstrate to them how absurd it is that they are upset that this man was healed, all because Jesus did it on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus is talking with them, and he's letting them know that if they had, you know, let's say, any other issues or someone else that needed help, then they definitely would have gone ahead and they would have helped up that person in their time of need. And so here it is that Jesus is just like totally just disregarding the fact that they were upset about this, and he just goes about his way and handles his business. And so I totally believe that this miracle took place. I believe that it's awesome that Jesus was unconventional in how he conducted himself, and he was unconventional in doing ministry. Although he did not completely do away with the customs of that time, there were some customs that did not override his purpose, which was for him to come and for him to proclaim the gospel, for him to be able to be a person who was God's word manifested in the flesh on earth. This was his purpose, and to come and to redeem mankind. And in our own lives, we also have to have that same confidence and that same conviction that we won't allow what people say or tradition or form or fashion to get in the way of our purpose. Now, that's not to say that tradition is completely bad. It's not to say that having protocol or structure is not necessary. But what it is to say is that there is a place and a time for us to go and for us to be unconventional and for us to do what is needed and what is necessary and to forget about tradition if tradition is going to be a hindrance to the ultimate purpose of God. So what about you? What do you think? Do you believe or do you not believe in this particular miracle? Feel free to call into the show or even to post on social media about it as well. All right, so let's go on to our next segment titled Let's Be Real. And in this segment of the show, this is where I make a weekly confession, and it varies about the topic, but regardless of what the topic is, either I'm going to be transparent and admit my mistakes and shortcomings, or I'm going to be very honest about areas that I've had to grow in, or even about my successes and things that I have done well. The purpose of this show, at this point of the show, is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that I have personally experienced the supernatural healing of God in my body. And so if you're following me on Facebook, you actually saw my post a couple of days ago about this particular incident. And I just want to share it here on the show as well. A few months ago, I actually mentioned this as well, but it's such an awesome experience that I just love talking about it. So in case you don't follow me on Facebook and you've never heard me give this account of my own physical healing, I'm going to let you know what it is now. So back in February 2012, I was working, and during that winter, we did not have any snow or anything except for one night. That entire winter, there was only one night where it snowed, and it was, like, sleet and everything, and it was just, like, crazy. The weather was really crazy. And so I was working at this job overnight, and I had went outside in order to get my lunch, or snack, rather, in the middle of the night, out of my car. And so I'm walking to my car, and as I walk into my car, I slip on some black ice and fall. And so I fell pretty hard. And when I fell, it's like I was really in a lot of pain, but I was able to still get back up and to walk, go to my car, get my stuff out, and I walked back to my department. And as I was walking back to my department, the pain started increasing just more and more and more and more. And so I went to my supervisor. I let them know what happened. And within an hour, I was in so much pain that I couldn't even hardly move. And so I went ahead, I finished out my shift and made all the necessary reports that needed to be made. But over the next few weeks, I would just be completely just bed down for the most part. If I wasn't going to church or if I wasn't going to a doctor's appointment, I was in the bed because I was in an incredible amount of pain. My injuries were actually diagnosed to be a herniated disc in the L5 region, and then I also had a labral tear in my right hip. As a result of these injuries, I was walking on a cane at just 28 years old, which was just so frustrating for me, to be quite honest. And then I was on all these pain medicines. I mean, like, they're really strong guys. I had so many medicines they had given me to try to help with managing my pain, but despite with even taking the medicines, it still did not help a whole lot. I was just constantly in a crazy amount of pain. And so it was difficult just even doing basic tasks. I can tell you, just even standing up long enough just to brush my teeth, which is really hard. And so I ended up actually losing that job. I didn't lose the job, but I can no longer work at that job. And right before my injury, I had applied for a job and had received it and ended up getting the job, and it was actually a promotion as well. And so I was very excited about this promotion at the other job that I was working. But as a result of the injury, I had to resign from that position, so I lost that. So here it is. I'm in the middle of a workers' comp case at the job that I was working at. And then the second job that I had, where I had received a promotion, which would have been an awesome opportunity with this really great company, I had to resign from that because of this injury. So for the next, from February through July, I would not get a whole lot of sleep at all because of the pain. I was just in too much pain to even sleep very well. I was going back and forth to the doctors. I was in physical therapy, but that really wasn't helping too much. As a result of the injuries, I also started to have some nerve damage as well, which was just crazy, just looking at just how all of this, this one fall, just snowballed into so many other issues. I had two back procedures that were supposed to help alleviate my pain that actually increased my pain. So once I was scheduled for the third procedure, I refused to take it because I'm like, I'm not getting this third procedure done to do the same thing that had already been done for me to my pain levels. And then I was scheduled to have hip surgery as well. So you can just imagine it's a lot of things I was going through. So on July 29th, 2012, I was in my room and I was trying to get ready for church. It was a Sunday. And I was in so much pain that it was almost impossible for me to get ready, but, you know, I would just lay that back down. I would try to get up and get dressed, and I would have to lay back down because I just couldn't stand up to, you know, get even downstairs from the bathroom. And then once I was able to do that and shower, then even coming back upstairs and trying to put on, you know, my clothes, it was just such a whole ordeal. So I would end up being, like, really late to church. But even with being late, I still made it there at the right time. Because little did I know is that with pushing through that pain, with pushing through that frustration, is that I will have one of the most awesome experiences in my life. So I walk into church, and I go and sit down, and so my pastor, he's getting up for the sermon, and before his sermon, he was giving this exhortation and this encouragement to everyone that was there at church that day. And so as he's talking, one of the things that he says is that there is a relief in the atmosphere. Now, as this was going on, I'm just trying to stand up and, you know, just really take in what is happening in that moment and just have my spirits to be encouraged. But the pain that I was experiencing was just really a huge distraction. And so I'm trying to stand up in spite of the pain because I'm like, I'm not going to allow this pain to continue to defeat me. But I end up having to sit down because it was just too much. And so as I sit down, I began just bawling my eyes out, crying. I'm crying from frustration, crying from pain. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is just too much. And so I prayed a very, very simple prayer. And I said to God, God, I can't take this anymore. Can you take the pain away? And so as I'm praying that prayer, that's when my pastor is on the mic, and that's when he's saying there's a relief in the atmosphere. And as soon as I get done saying my prayer, and as soon as he gets done saying that statement, I hear in my spirit that God speaks to me and says, you have been released. And then immediately I was like up praising God. And I was just amazed because my pain was completely gone. And so I was really in shock, to be quite honest. And even at the end of service, like for the rest of that service, I was able to stand up, walk around, do whatever I needed to do, you know, without using a cane and without having any pain at all. And so at the end of service, I'm still kind of shocked, like, wow, like this is crazy. Like my pain still has not come back. And so the next day I go to my physical therapy appointment, and the doctors and the therapists and the patients are all shocked to see me walking around without the cane, and then they're able to hear my story of what happened. Now, mind you, I was just at my physical therapy appointment that Friday. So, you know, you have Sunday to July 29th, so 2 days prior to that Friday, I was at my physical therapy appointment, and I had to actually leave the appointment early because my pain levels were so high that I couldn't do any of the exercises at all. So to fast forward now, you go from Friday where I couldn't do anything at all, I had to leave the appointment early, and now it's 3 days later to Monday where I walk in without my cane and I'm able to do everything on Friday they had me do, plus things I haven't been able to do in months. I mean, everyone was completely amazed. And one of the doctors actually came to me, he was treating me, and he hugged me and he whispered in my ear, Jesus really did heal you. And from a medical standpoint, that is just an amazing thing to have a doctor to actually acknowledge the power of God. And that's not something he had ever done before, you know, in my interaction with him. I mean, he was an awesome doctor, very great, but, again, had never just mentioned God or anything of that nature. And that's not typically what, you know, most doctors would do anyway. And so that month following my healing, I was able to witness and to tell about the goodness of God and to talk about my supernatural healing and to just give the good news of Jesus to so many people, actually more people than I've ever been able to talk about Jesus in my whole entire life just within that 1 month's time. And the reason for that is because for almost 7 months, people have been used to seeing me walking around with my cane and just looking just horrible, to be quite honest, physically anyway. Because look, you could tell that I was in pain. You could tell that there was something wrong because I'm bent over walking with this cane. You know, I'm very young. You know, you can tell that I'm not that, you know, that old. And so people were just shocked. It's like, here it is, like, just the week before you saw me walking around the cane. Like, what happened? And so in that experience, I was able to see God move on my behalf just in a way that I had never seen before. And I've seen God do some pretty awesome things, you know, in my life, but I never personally experienced that physical healing. I've heard of other people. I've seen it happen to other people. But to have it happen to me, it was just so amazing. And so every year for the past 4 years, I have given my testimony about this experience that I've had. And even since then, you know, I've seen other people experience the physical healing of God. Like there was actually a service I was in where a woman that I know, she was dealing with issues with breast cancer, and she had this lump that was in her breast, and the preacher that was there prayed for her, and within minutes, the lump was gone. I mean, and that was just like a completely amazing experience too. But I've seen things happen like that so many times before. The reason why this is so amazing to me is not just because of that moment and what happened 4 years ago, but it's also amazing to me because it's a reminder of how God is able and how he is able to sing just in such an amazing, unexpected way. When I got up that morning and all that pain, I had no clue that just a few hours later, like, I would have that pain leave and never have it come back again. Like, even 4 years later now, I've not gone back to walking on a cane. I haven't gone back to physical therapy. I haven't had to have any other experiences. And by the way, my hip surgery was also canceled because that was no longer necessary as well. I love to wear high heels, so I've been able to wear high heels with any time that I want to. But just the experiences is awesome because it also reminds me of just even now in my life is that whatever impossible situation I stand in, that God has the miraculous, this awesome, this unexpected answer that is going to completely do more than what I could ever think or imagine. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, I've seen God do that back on July 29, 2012. I've seen him do it even before 2012, and I've seen him do it after, and I believe him to continue to do exceeding abundantly above anything I can ever ask him for or anything I can ever imagine. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a commercial break for our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, and then after the commercial, we'll be right back with the show.
Today's wellness moment is something that I just absolutely love, which is music. Anyone who knows me knows that I love to listen to music. I love to sit and actually listen to vinyl sometimes, and it's just a different level of listening to music. But when it comes down to it, the reality is that when you want peaceful times and you want peaceful moments, you have to be very mindful of the things that you're listening to. So for me, when I'm feeling down, I'm feeling out, I try to make sure that I listen to music that is calming and or music that is actually uplifting. So I use music that actually reflects the mood that I want to be in. So be very mindful and careful that you take care of your emotional health by making sure that the things that you're listening to and exposing yourself to can help you to get a positive as well as an internal view on how to be well. So for me, when I'm down and out, like I said, I listen to some inspirational or some very uplifting music. But other times when I just want to be calm, I actually listen to things that might be similar to the waves or ocean, or the waves in the ocean, where it might actually calm me. So something that's jazz and cool and calm can actually internalize inside me and bring me to a good place. So remember, say yes to some good music when you want to feel better and take care of yourself. All right, everyone be well.
All right, welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm excited that you are still with me on tonight as we continue to make spiritual wellness a priority. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show. You can also interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media. My handle is at Weary Consult, and that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and on Periscope as well. If you hear anything during the show that really resonates with you or that sparks a question or a comment, feel free to call into the show live. The number to call in is 347-850-1154. And as you're posting on social media, you can even use some of the hashtags that you hear throughout the show, which includes Living with Broken Pieces, Let's Be Real, Hashtag Moment, or Wellness and Faith. All right, we are going to go into our main topic of discussion on tonight, and the topic that we will be discussing is called Negative or Positive. Negative or Positive. All right, so the title and the topic is actually based upon a fairly well-known scripture, which is Romans 8:28. And so Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. So when you hear Romans 8:28, the scripture is usually quoted partially, and it's just the first part that is quoted more often than not than the entire scripture. And so that first part that says that we know that all things work together for good is pretty well known. But we're going to go through, we're going to break down the scripture in two chunks, and we're going to talk about each chunk and then just put it all together. So the first part, and we know that all things. And so when you look at this particular portion, is that it talks about having an assurance in God despite what may be going on in your life. So whether things are really great or whether things are not so great or they're somewhere in between, or maybe even if your life just feels really horribly at this time, it still doesn't deter and it doesn't change your assurance or our confidence in God. It's that we know that all things, no matter if it's something that we like, if it's something that we don't like, if it's something in our life that happens unexpected or even something that we saw coming, at the end of the day, there is nothing that can happen in our lives that should be strong enough to deter our assurance and our confidence in God. And so the next portion is work together for good. Everything in our lives is being used for us and not ultimately against us. Now, of course, the devil will come to try to use things against us. He would try to destroy us. His whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God counteracts that whole plan of destruction that Satan would try to play out in our lives, and he interrupts those plans, and he transforms everything to work for our good. His plan is that we would live and that we would live and have life abundantly. And so even in spite of all the crazy things that can happen, and even in spite of the things that we even cause to happen to ourselves because we make bad decisions, at the end of the day, everything is in this huge, great pot, and that pot is going to serve something great in our lives. All the great, the bad things, the awesome things, the horrible things, they're all being put together, and they're going to produce this taste, this flavor, this meal, this experience that is going to be so awesome, and it's still going to taste good despite of the individual ingredients that may not all be good. So the second part of that is that, or the third portion of the scripture says, to them that love God. Now, here's the thing. We have a responsibility in order to see the scripture manifest in our lives consistently. In order to see God's hand consistently working, we must first love him. And in order to love God, it doesn't just mean we love him in word, but it means that we love him in deed. It means that we love him by living a life that is pleasing to him and by living a life that goes according to his plan. But it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect because we're human. So we are going to make mistakes. But just like the scripture talks about how we strive for perfection, is that we strive consistently in everything that we do to get as close to being and representing the perfection of Christ and living and manifesting the righteousness of God in our lives. So we must love him. We must love him with our mind. We must love him with our actions, with our behavior, with our thoughts, with the words that we speak, with our relationships with other people, with our passion and our purpose, with our desires, even with our hobbies, with our interests, with our professional pursuits, our educational pursuits, with our relational pursuits, any pursuit or desire or passion that we have, the first priority, the foundation of it all, must be our love for God. And then the last portion of that scripture says, and are called according to his purpose. We must align ourselves with God's plan and his purpose for us because he knows what's best. He knows not only what is going to happen in the very moment, but he knows our past, he knows our future, and he knows how to put our past, present, and future together in order to bring about this perfect plan that is best for us. Now, with saying that perfect plan, it means that it's perfect in the intention and desire that God has. It doesn't mean that our life will be perfect in the sense that we will never experience bad things or we will never experience something going wrong. If that was the case, then we wouldn't even need to be having this discussion because everybody would just be living life like it's a bowl of cherries. But at the end of the day, we need to just make sure that we are aligned with God's purpose. And it doesn't just mean with accepting salvation. It also means with living a life that's according to God's will even after salvation. It means being committed to that first call of belief that we accepted, where we accepted God as our Jesus as our Savior, where we admitted that we were wrong, we admitted that we were sinful, and we've done things that were not right. But then we also confess and acknowledge that we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so now our whole lives after that is supposed to be a manifestation of that belief, is that salvation is not just to be in a one-time occurrence and that ends, but we should be growing in our salvation. We should be growing and maturing in God so that we will truly see God's plan working in our lives and we will see how all things, every single thing that we experience is definitely for our good and that we will see that ultimately we win, that ultimately we conquer everything that happens in our life, and that ultimately we see the true righteous power and magnificent power of God. All right, so now we're going to go into our dose of spiritual wellness. And this is just to recap the show and to give a point for you to remember just on the next week as you're going about your day. So our dose of spiritual wellness for this evening is don't stress about the bad stuff in your life, because just like the good things, it's all going to make you better. And so, of course, that's easier said than done, and it may seem so simple, but at the end of the day, it's so true, because this is just a summary of Romans 8 and 28. It's another way to look at it. Don't stress about the bad stuff. Be happy about the good stuff. Have the assurance that everything is going to make you better, that everything is working for you and not against you. So don't stress. Don't stress. just trust God because he has it all under control. All right, well, I have enjoyed spending this time with you all on this evening. I truly enjoy the fact that you come to have this time with me each and every single week. We are here every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss a portion of the show or if you want to listen to the show again or even listen to other shows, you can also go to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness to be able to listen to the show live Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or to listen to the replays any time of day or night at your own free will. You can also listen to replays on the show on my website at sherryweary.com. Be sure to go to radiantsunshine.org in order to read the blogs that I post, but also read the other blogs that are posted there as well. You can find tons of helpful wellness tips there to be able to assist you in living a fulfilled and successful and empowered life. While you're at the radiantsunshine.org website, you should head right on over to rswellness.org, where you can find information about the new women's enrichment community that is being hosted by the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. We just had our first conference call on Sunday night. I would love to tell you the wonderful details of that call, but you have to be a member. In order to be a member, you want to go ahead and sign up. The membership for the year is very, very affordable compared to the tons of resources and the expertise and the support that you're going to have access to. You'll have access to monthly conference calls, to weekly groups, to articles, and support from experts and licensed professionals who will be able to assist you on your own journey of success. So you want to go ahead and sign up for a membership today. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at Weary Consult. If you want to post anything about the show or have any questions, just go ahead and make a post and just be sure to tag me. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's sherryweary.com. And my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is still available. My first novel was published a few months ago. It is available for purchase on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and you can purchase that in a print and ebook format. This week, I'm actually running a special on the print versions of my book, where you can order the book on my website, sherryweary.com, and get free shipping. Again, in order to get that offer, you have to go to sherryweary.com, and you want to go ahead and click on the tab for that particular sale. Walking Through the Pain is the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Philadelphia PA, September 17, 2016. You can go to patricemyrickministries.com. That's patricemyrickministries.com for more information and to register. Lastly, before we head out, I want you to go ahead and follow me on Periscope if you're not already following me on Periscope, because tonight I'm actually a part of a Pass the Cast Scope where I will be talking about why I am a member of the Kingdom Sisters Network. This is an awesome network that is full of wonderful women who are doing awesome things in ministry and in business, and this is a network that you want to be a part of. So be sure to follow me at Weary Consult to be able to watch that broadcast tonight, along with watching the broadcast of all the other wonderful women who will be talking about why they are members as well. The Kingdom Sisters Network is actually hosted and was created by Joyce Gilmore, who is just an awesome person as well, so you want to go ahead and follow her. But more information will be available actually on my Facebook page. You can follow me at Sherry C. Weary, and you can be able to get the information for it to watch the broadcast. But make sure you follow me at Weary Consult. Follow Joyce Gilmore as well, and you'll be able to watch all of the broadcasts tonight as we talk about the Kingdom Sisters Network. Well, until we meet again, and as always, I pray that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.